time to enlighten up and health yourself at the same time. It's Natural Solutions Radio with Sir Eliezer Ben Joseph, traditional naturopath.
And good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining me here at Natural Solutions Radio. And be proud of yourself. A little excitement is in order for however you found yourself here at Natural Solutions Radio. There are no accidents. Here you are knowing and believing truth to always be here when you need it. This is the show where you can learn to health yourself and enlighten up at the same time. You're about to enter the gateway into the world of natural health and freedom technologies with alternative and complementary therapies, all representing the leading edge of natural medicine and social commentary today. Enjoy the information and entertainment you find here at Natural Solutions Radio. And good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us. Lots of new articles. God, there's so many articles on herbs and articles that come out every week on a different herb or a different vitamin or frankincense again or garlic or coffee. And it's so hard to choose so many of them. And this first one I want to talk about is something that's happening quite a lot, and that is the autoimmune diseases becoming more and more in this country. It's almost epidemic what's happening in this country with autoimmune diseases. And Dr. Peter Osborne came out with a report. He's a pretty big doctor that's doing testing on autoimmune diseases and finding out what the causes of those are. At least about 50 million Americans have some form of autoimmune disease. And individuals may even live with one or more, things like irritable bowel syndrome or psoriasis, eczema, rheumatoid arthritis, eczema, lupus is another one, scleroderma, sarcoidosis, all of these different kinds of diseases that are all considered autoimmune diseases. Now, one of the things that in naturopathy, we look at autoimmune disease quite a bit differently. Autoimmune disease means that your body is broken, it's attacking itself for no reason, we don't know why. And in naturopathy, we think that's kind of a junk science. And what we believe is that the body is so intelligent that white blood cells will attack tissue that is compromised. And nowadays, there's so much compromising to healthy tissues, whether it's L-form bacteria or mycoplasma bacteria, or it's a genetically modified organism, or pesticides and herbicides and fungicides and insecticides. There's a link between all of these and your autoimmune diseases. One of the biggest links that Dr. Osborne reports is there's a link between the GMO-laden processed foods and the increased number of autoimmune disease. And he warns that diet with GMO foods and another one, especially those that are sensitive to gluten, is one of the leading causes of more than 90 different autoimmune diseases. And genetically modified organisms or genetically modified foods, especially corn and soybean and sugar beets and high fructose corn syrup, these happen to be foods now that are everywhere in the American diet. And these are foods that have been genetically modified to contain the pesticide directly inside the food. So when you eat that food, it's as if you're eating the pesticide. So not only are they able to spray more pesticides on the food because the food itself is part of that chemical makeup, but what they do is that when the little bug eats the food with pesticides, their stomachs explode and they die. But now, even eating the food itself without being sprayed with pesticides, because the pesticide is in the food, then that's what happens in the humans. Their stomachs, their mucous membranes that line from their stomachs all the way through their intestinal tract, large and small and large intestine. And they're getting all of these different diseases because of malabsorption, leaky gut, and they're not absorbing and utilizing the vitamins and minerals from food. And we're talking diseases like diabetes and hypothyroid and lupus and multiple sclerosis, rheumatoid arthritis and ulcerative colitis. And again, a lot of conventionally trained physicians says there is no cure for autoimmune diseases, so they're going to give you immune-suppressing drugs that only increase your risk of systemic infections. So if you have any of these autoimmune diseases, take note that gluten itself can harm the intestinal tract and even promote these autoimmune diseases. And gluten is a group of proteins that are found in grains, barley, rye, but mainly wheat. And Dr. Osborne noted that other foods and non-food sources might also contain gluten, and also the use of GMOs in food has caused gluten content to double in recent years. And in fact, he says that at least 40% of the population now reacts poorly to the protein gluten, and proving that human DNA can't always adjust to the numerous changes in the food quality and content that we have. Gluten, in essence, increases a protein called zonulin, and it's produced in the small intestine. And zonulin breaks down proteins in the gut that help to keep the gut lining intact. And that means the thickness of the mucous membrane and how the little cilia work in the gut and how you absorb nutrients. And so what can happen is this zonulin, however, creates gaps where undigested food and proteins can enter the bloodstream and trigger an immune response. This is sometimes you'll hear of as leaky gut syndrome. And the leaky gut, which allows these large proteins to be absorbed directly into the bloodstream, directly through the intestinal wall, which is large spaces and where they can these foods can actually be absorbed. And now you have these proteins floating directly in your bloodstream, and your white blood cells react to it. So one of the things is to really help natural remedies to heal this is to follow a gluten-free diet for at least a good while. Now, one of the things that we add for people still eating those glutens is a higher fiber diet. And that means you can take even a powdered fiber like psyllium hulls and also mix that with diatomaceous earth. And also to increase your probiotics. And that means whether you're taking a probiotic food, such as sauerkraut or kimchi, or whether you're taking probiotic pills. Also, your diet is closely linked. And to improve your gut, they're saying to eat these specific foods, like the fermented foods that I just mentioned. Kefir is another good one, especially you can find raw kefir now in most of the health food stores. Kimchi from Korea, that's a very spicy sauerkraut cabbage. Miso soup, tempeh, sauerkraut, yogurt, and I like the new yogurt that's made from coconut milk. And these are all full of probiotics. And the more probiotics that you have in your gut, the more you're going to actually heal the lining of the gut. And so these become really beneficial bacteria that can improve your gut health. Another one is the sulfur-bearing foods like garlic and onions and shallots, and they all have a very strong immune system-enhancing properties. And then, again, the high-fiber foods can really help heal and push toxins out of the intestinal tract. And even foods like asparagus and bananas and berries and then leeks and kale and green leafy lettuces and broccoli and Brussels sprouts. So all of these are really high-grade ways to eliminate the threat of autoimmune diseases. So that's one of the things that we start off with this morning. And again, I think if you can heed some of that advice, gluten and GMO. Now, it's very difficult to avoid today's GMO foods because even Whole Foods, which used to pride itself that nothing in the store would be genetically modified, now they actually have a lot of foods that are genetically modified, and it's very difficult to understand because the labeling is so off. It almost, Fred, you were even mentioning what the label looked like, that it was a real healthy looking.
Yes, they did a new, the FDA did a new labeling, and it looks like a little sun with a plant. It looks like it's
super healthy.
Grown. Yes.
Naturally, super healthy.
Yes.
Don't worry about it.
Yes.
And it's just the exact opposite. So do as much as you can to avoid the genetically modified. The other thing that you, again, want to avoid as much as possible is the pesticide, herbicide, fungicide-laden foods. Eat organic as much as possible because when you eat those foods, a number of things happen. One is they act as estrogen, and so we now know that all of these estrogenic effects in the body increase your risk of autoimmune diseases and cancer. The other thing is your body has to get rid of these toxins. And the food itself becomes the toxic material. And this is what we really want to be careful of. This is Eliezer Ben-Joseph. And we're going to go ahead and take our break, and we'll be right back.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.
And good morning, good morning. Thank you for joining us here at Natural Solutions Radio.
Good morning. You've got Vince and Al. What's happening there?
Good morning, Al. How are you? We've got both of you online today. That's like a treat. And how can I say thank you so much for listening to the show and joining us? Both of them are expert in herbs, with Al actually being the originator of one of the best herb shops around the country called Herbs for Health. And again, master herbalists, and I've known them for many, many years. And not only are they good friends, but I would consider them colleagues, and very knowledgeable in what they do. So, hey, what's new, guys? It's nice. Thank you for joining me.
I wanted to share with you that I sent on your message. I just got back from Kona, Hawaii. doTERRA just purchased 10,000 acres of sacred land on the island of Kona, the very land that Cook landed on hundreds of years ago. And this is sacred, sacred land that's been in one family for since 1863. doTERRA was able to come in because of their interest in the sandalwood trees. They purchased from the governor of Hawaii all the dead sandalwood trees on the island of Kona. We're now the second largest industry in Hawaii next to the pineapple that Dole does. doTERRA has now created an industry of harvesting the dead sandalwood trees there. And in addition to that, they're also planting, and I sent you a little video of me planting some sandalwood trees this week in Hawaii, and it's an amazing project. Each tree will be coated and a small little chip put on them so that we can manage that for the next 30 to 50 years, the growth of these sandalwood trees. So there are some amazing things happening.
I've seen photos of those areas where before they were just doing nothing with those sandalwood trees. They were letting them just go in the fields. And now, because of the interest in sandalwood all over the world, that whole area, like you say, on Kona, I figured at some point it's going to be something so valuable. And doTERRA, so they purchased it so that we know that they're going to handle the land wisely and what we would consider in an appropriate manner to make sure that that sandalwood stays viable. And the new trees, that's amazing.
This sacred ground, we had to make agreements with the government that we would not develop or build any buildings on 9,000 of the 10,000 acres. So only 1,000 acres can we put our distilleries and, you know, and of course, outbuildings and parking and things like that. But the other 9,000 acres have to remain sacred land. This land right now is so hard that you have to bring in tractors with grinders just to get down underneath the lava rock, the lava bed, to plant the trees.
And now I'm glad that finally it's going to be processed into very high-grade sandalwood. I've always loved the smell of sandalwood, and yet there's a lot of medicinal properties to sandalwood. So what are some of the things that the sandalwood are used for in the oils?
Well, most of the strength and the power of the fentanyls in sandalwood is used for degenerative health problems. And so you're going to find them to be very, very important in the future of just your typical degenerative health challenges that people are facing daily.
Can it be taken internally? Again, doTERRA's products. I don't know about other companies.
Yes. Because this is a Hawaiian sandalwood, because as you know, there are other countries, New Zealand and other countries, that harvest sandalwood. But this particular Hawaiian sandalwood is an edible, completely safe product yet. And so it's very, very pure, among the purest of all the fentanyls on the planet. And so, yes, it's going to be used internally.
I know you can see incense everywhere, sandalwood incense. I mean, that's got to be universal, almost any of the incense shops and all the hippie shops when we were going growing up, and all of the head shops, they always had sandalwood incense. And I love the smell of sandalwood. So I'm really glad that doTERRA is taking an active role in now it's going to be preserved, and that sacred land will be preserved. So that's really cool. Al, how long does it take from planting before you can actually harvest some of the wood for sandalwood?
30 years. What I planted this past week, perhaps my children or grandchildren can see the benefits of. And the trees that are laying in Hawaii and Kona today are 50 to 80 years old, and they're only 2 feet in diameter. So it takes a long time to grow a sandalwood tree. And as you know, it has a dark wood center and a light wood outer skin. So we're only harvesting the dark wood. We have to pick them up by helicopter, bring them to a chopping center and chop them up, and take that first 2 inches off to get to the dark wood. And that's what we grind up in grinders and make into the oil.
Wow. It almost sounds like you know, where, you know, a brewery or a winery where it takes years before once you get the tree to process it, you know, or some of these things that take so many years beforehand. And, you know, you have to think of it. That's generations of farmers, and they're not planting for what they're going to be using in their lifetime. They're planting for what will be used in generations to come. So there has to be a certain mental attitude where you're looking and looking to the future of that. And I really appreciate doTERRA saving that.
You realize that today we have trees like arborvitae, the tree of life, that's 800 years old before we're harvesting the an arborvitae tree in the Pacific Northwest.
Wow. And I know ginkgo biloba, that's a tree that can be 1,000, 1,500 years old. And so some of these trees are outrageous. And Mother Nature is just something unique. And, you know, the divinity of how things grow and what's available for us to be able to utilize in our own health care, that it's just such a wonderful thing to be part of. You know, naturopathy, of course, shines in the fact that everything we use is natural. So I really love hearing about all of the new things that doTERRA is doing. So I thank you guys so much for calling. So this is Eliezer Ben-Joseph. And I want to say thank you both to Vince and Al Garcia, and we'll be right back.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.
And good morning, and thank you for joining us here at Natural Solutions Radio. Hi, George. Good morning. Are you listen only? Do you have a question this morning, George?
Good morning, Dr. Ben-Joseph. I have a question. Recently, I've been having a pain on my toe, and I think I have gout. And now I think I'm getting flare-ups again for gout. So and what can I do for that?
That's a good question. And what it can be, especially if you've been on a health program for a while, you've opened up some old tissue and allow those uric acids to be dumped out of the body and to be eliminated from the body. So sometimes you have those side effects as what we call an elimination. There's an herb, safflower. Now, not safflower oil, but safflower, the plant, the herb, is very effective for gout, and especially gout pains. The other thing is magnesium, taking the mineral magnesium, or also the herb hydrangea. And the other thing is to drink maybe some lemon oil, lemon juice and water, and that can really make a difference. And maybe one of the easier things is for 1 day to 2 days, eat as much raw fruits and vegetables as possible, almost a 90% raw diet for 1 to 2 days, because that's going to help thin out the blood a little bit and expand the blood vessels so that you can get rid of those little uric acid crystals. When you look at those under a microscope, they look like broken glass with little spikes on them, and that's the pain that you feel because they get embedded in the tissue. And so, oh my gosh, it can cause severe pain. And one of the things you can do is, if you can handle it, is to actually massage the area and just hold the pressure on it. Don't rub it back and forth, but just find the most painful spot and hold a pressure. And oftentimes you can break those crystals down and then allow the blood supply, blood circulation to flush those away. But again, if you want to get rid of the pain very quickly, for today anyway, drink a lot of maybe a lemon juice and water, and eat just a lot of fresh fruit, especially pomegranates, and that may really make a big difference in getting rid of that. So, George, I know what you mean. That could be very painful, and so you want to do that. Magnets sometimes can help. I wear magnets in my shoes, and that increases the circulation in your feet. So sometimes you can put a magnet in your sole, in the soles of your shoes, and wear them, and that could actually help wash those away. So hopefully that helps, George. Thank you so much for being a listener and calling.
What would you recommend for cognitive recall?
Oh, cognitive recall, that's in essence memory. And there's all kinds of things. But some of the things that you can do externally is one of the best things you can take is fish oil. And fish oil and the herb ginkgo biloba, both of those can enhance brain function. Ginkgo biloba is an herb that will increase the blood supply to the brain. And fish oil has DHA and EPA. And both of those chemicals will really make a difference in the brain and neurotransmitters. And then externally, of course, exercise is going to be one of the best. Now, the best form of exercise that's a new form is called LIVO2. And that's an exercise using very high amounts of oxygen and how that can increase brain function. It decreases almost every known disease because we are oxygen beings, and sometimes the tissue becomes what's called hypoxic. And when that happens, tissue will swell up and fluid builds up in the cells, and the mitochondria in the cells actually suffer and don't take up enough oxygen. So that's going to be a very effective. And then there's another treatment that's extremely beneficial for almost any known disease, and that's was developed by Dr. Bob Beck. And Dr. Bob Beck's protocols, the electrification of the blood or the magnetic pulse stimulator. So as an example for the gout, if you had a magnetic pulse stimulator, you'd put that magnetic pulsing right there at the big toe, and you would pulse for at least a 20-minute cycle. And that really becomes effective. And that also is very effective for cognitive. They found that magnetic pulsed, magnetic pulsing in the brain actually improves cognitive function, decreases the symptoms of Alzheimer's and dementia. So there are a number of treatments that you can do. Bob Beck's processes are available. You can buy those from SOTA Instrument Company, and that would be SOTA.com. And you can go there and actually purchase the Bob Beck instrument and use that to help fight disease of almost any kind. Because not only do we use oxygen, but we're electrical beings, and using electricity now can enhance health. And it's the same way using the galvanic stim or the electrodermal response, as along with the galvanic stim response. Those are electrical techniques now using machinery external. So very, very good techniques to include cognitive function. Also learning to control your breathing, slowing down the breathing so that you decrease adrenal cortex and cortisols, because it's that cortisol that can cause you to activate the limbic part of your brain, but the deactivates the frontal lobe of the brain, which is where your memory is stored. So learning to control your breath becomes really paramount. And I think that answer his question, I think. Let me go now, if I can. There's some of the most effective foods against hypertension. Hypertension is one of those silent killers, and it's a dangerous condition. Oftentimes, you really don't have any symptoms. But hypertension affects 1 in 3 American adults, and only a portion of those that are affected have been diagnosed and able to maintain their blood pressure. So people who suffer from the condition don't realize sometimes that they even have it until they find a much bigger condition. Things like a heart attack or a stroke or an aneurysm or kidney disease or almost any kind of diseases that affect the circulatory system. So there's, of course, a lot of conventional medicine for hypertension, and they have a lot of side effects. So patients, you know, if you can, we like to find things that can actually help alleviate hypertension. And there are some foods that can really make a difference. Nuts and seeds, almonds and walnuts and cashews, they're great sources of magnesium, which is an essential mineral that can really help maintain the role of healthy blood pressure. And there's been studies done on measuring the amount of magnesium in the blood, and the higher the magnesium, the better the hypertension and the better the circulatory system. So this mineral significantly improves hypertension. Almonds can also boost your mood by increasing serotonin levels. And when you increase serotonin and your mood is better and you're not stressed out and producing cortisol, again, your blood pressure is going to become better. Turmeric, of course, is a spice from India. It's that yellow spice, and one of the good things it does for blood pressure is it increases nitric oxide in the blood. Nitric oxide acts as a natural vasodilator. Then kale, which has been talked about. Kale is one of these greens that have been talked about against cancer quite a bit. It has a very high amount of vitamin C, and again, it's also very high in potassium. Vitamin C and potassium both help control circulation, so kale. And another one I talked about is the omega-3 fish oils, especially from wild fish like wild salmon or sardines or mackerel or herring. All of these can really help with lowering inflammation. Of course, there's studies that have been done in the Journal of Pharmaceutical Sciences about garlic. And eating garlic daily for 6 months significantly improves blood pressure. And so, again, these are external. Pomegranates are rich in antioxidant compounds called tannins and anthocyanins and ellagic acid, and they're known for their very high antioxidant property. And also they can lower bad cholesterol. They improve the elasticity of your blood vessels. Then there's a natural sweetener called stevia, and it contains steviosides, and they can actually significantly lower blood pressure. So it takes it a while to use that. Stevia is a nice sweetener that you can use in your tea or coffees. And then the last thing is beetroot. And beetroot also contains high amounts of nitric oxide and can really make a difference. Athletes are now using beetroot and beet juice because it improves the oxygen uptake. Now, these are all external things to control blood pressure, but there are some natural techniques that if you're having a high blood pressure spiking, as an example, that you can do a technique right now that'll lower within 6 minutes. It will lower your blood pressure down 20, 30 points each. So it's a technique of controlling your breathing, and it actually enhances the parasympathetic sympathetic nervous system. It decreases the cortisol, and they've known that when you can slow down your breathing, and again, the technique is you lower your breathing rate to 6 breaths per minute. That means you inhale to the count of 5, exhale to the count of 5, so 1 breath becomes 10 seconds. And when you do that, that means you're breathing to the 6 seconds per minute. So inhaling very slowly to the count of 5, exhaling very slowly to the count of five. And when you do that for 3 minutes and you're in a relaxed state, you'll find that within 3 to 6 minutes, your blood pressure is almost going back to normal. And when you start doing that technique every day, you'll find that that actually can reverse hypertension and reverse the effects of too much cortisol. So that is a technique I've taught for years and years. And again, it's one of the first breathing techniques that you learn, and it's a very easy technique. You inhale five, exhale five, and you do that for 3 to 6 minutes, and you'll find your blood pressure goes back to normal. And again, thank you for joining us, and this is Eliezer Ben-Joseph. We'll be right back.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.
And good morning, and thank you for joining me here at Natural Solutions Radio. And one of the things I forgot to mention that's also for brain enhancement, and I mentioned before when I was talking about Dr. Bob Beck, and Dr. Bob Beck also has a machine called a brain tuner, and that also is a an electrical device that's very passive. You just put it on, and it'll actually enhance the brain function and return the brain function to normal harmony, improving serotonin uptake and actually improving how the brain produces alpha waves at higher amplitude. So it really makes a difference. So Bob Beck's brain tuner. I see a question that was online, and it's like, what can you do for someone with osteoporosis? Well, as I was going through articles that I was going to talk about this morning, there was one that I picked up that actually had to do with how do you prevent osteoporosis and also improve bone health. And improving bone health and avoiding osteoporosis may be a lot easier than we once thought it was. In fact, bone density could be as simple as eating more dried plums or prunes. And there's around 8 million women, and again, that many men that experience osteoporosis, and that's a deterioration of bone health, especially during menopause and aging, and during sometimes, again, when women have hysterectomies and hormone disruptions. And there is, again, both men and women experience osteoporosis. Well, there was a study at the Florida State University and the Oklahoma State Universities, and researchers tested postmenopausal women in two groups for over a year. In one group, they had women eat the equivalent of about 10 prunes, dried prunes, in the form of about 100 grams per day, while the other group consumed the equivalent amount of dried apples. They also received some calcium and vitamin D. And at the end of the study, the dried plums or prunes was found to actually have a higher bone density in both the spine and the forearms and all the bones tested. So Florida State professor researcher Barbara Angemondi also tested other fruits, including dates and figs and raisins and strawberries, for their veracity in improving bone health. However, nothing came close to the effectiveness of improving bone density as eating dried plums. And again, dried plums are called prunes. And oh my gosh, I love prunes. And a lot of times, you know, prunes can be a phenomenal way to improve bowel health, but both men and women are at risk, and so it's a very easy thing to eat, just eating some dried prunes. And one of the things that you can do also is take those prunes and rehydrate them, put them in a little saucer, add some good water, so it's about an inch that covers the prunes, let it sit for 4 hours, and then drink that water and eat those prunes. And you'll find that your bowels change. They become really, it's a phenomenal high fiber. And all this research was published in the British Journal of Nutrition. There is really, prunes are just packed with antioxidants, and they can help also, aside from just bone health, they can actually help regulate the immune system and also regulate cholesterol levels. They help prevent obesity. They improve cardiovascular health. They can boost the immune system. And they're also effective in regulating the electrolyte balance in the blood, cognitive health, nervous system functioning, skin health, blood clotting. So dried prunes can actually provide relief and protection from influenza, indigestion, anxiety. So we're talking that prunes are considered a superfood. And this came out in the Science Daily in one of their releases and in the journal PLOS. And prunes, something very easily to add to your diet. Also, of course, exercise is going to be one of the best, especially weight-bearing type of exercise. Walking is very good, especially walking and holding a pound of weight in each hand. Or you can actually get ankle weights, a pound in each ankle, or get a walking weight vest. And when you walk, you can walk about 15 minutes, but you would walk doing 30 seconds fast and a minute and a half slow, 30 seconds fast and a minute and a half slow. So that can really help to improve bone density, and it'll also improve heart function, lung function. And instead of just walking at a straight pace, you're doing fast, slow, fast, slow, fast, slow. And that's, again, called high-intensity training. And they're finding that that's the way to really improve heart function and lung function. So it was a great question. It's a way to help reverse osteoporosis. So you're going to find one thing that's very universal is that when I talk about anti-inflammatory foods or foods from the Mediterranean diet or foods that reduce your hypertension or foods that reduce stroke, you're going to see a similarity. They're all the healthy foods that we talk about. And I hope you, as you listen, you can kind of get that these same foods, all of it ties together. So this is Eliezer Ben-Joseph. We'll be right back.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.
And thank you so much for joining us here at Natural Solutions Radio. It's very true that often the things that we talk about each week overlap with each other, and that's because one of the things about natural health, the laws don't change, and healthy food is healthy food. And so it doesn't change. And doing healthy exercises in the proper way, it doesn't change. And So I really like the fact that natural medicine is so universal, and it's so it stays the same. You're not finding one thing coming out new, constantly changing. Like you get in allopathic medicine, there's always a new ingredient. There's always a new drug that comes out, and that new drug it's the new kid on the block. Now, when we talk about food, oftentimes we'll find a new nutrient that's in that food. We'll find a new antioxidant chemical that's in those food, polyphenols and phenols and tannins and anthocyanidins, and we'll find these things that are the different foods. So then I'm going to go ahead and continue, because I just mentioned there's two articles. One is the 11 delicious key ingredients that make the Mediterranean diet so nutritious. There's been study after study after study talking about the Mediterranean diet that really represents the traditional foods that people used to eat around the Mediterranean, Italy, Greece, in the late 50s and 60s. And what happened in the 70s, 80s, 90s, and 2000s, you start having them eat more and more of the American-type foods and the junk foods that are occurring, you know, from America being exported to all these other countries. And the new generations that are coming out, they're having less and less of their traditional foods, and basically that's really changing the Mediterranean diet. But they also found that those going back to their original diets, the Mediterranean diet, they're focusing on more of the traditional diets eaten during that period, that the health is being restored. And some of these foods, number one is olive oil. And so olive oil is one of these foods that really dominates the foods that are part of the Mediterranean diet. Olive oil is something now, you have to be careful when you buy olive oil, because there's so much synthetic olive oil like that. But good traditional high virgin olive oil is rich in tocopherols and tocotrienols and carotenoids and polyphenols, all of which provide anti-inflammatory processes. So again, when we start talking about anti-inflammatory foods, you're going to see these same foods being mentioned. So also, it's one of the principal sources of dietary fats in the Mediterranean diet, and it's used in cooking and baking. And contrary to popular belief, high-quality extra virgin olive oil has a high smoke point. It can go up to 410 degrees, and so it can be used. Now, for the higher smoke points, I like coconut oil, and for the best oil to cook with that has the highest smoke point is avocado oil. The next food on that list is olives, and eating olives, also the black olives, the green olives, and they're used for cooking and flavoring and just eating. And so then you're getting the olive fruit and all of the associated food factors, plus you're getting the oil. Another thing is wine, and they're finding that a small amount of alcohol consumption was common in their traditional Mediterranean diet, and generally in moderation, and in the form of wine was always during the meals. There was actually some advice from the Harvard School of Public Health on moderate drinking can be healthy, but not for everyone. So you must weigh the beneficial against the risks. For most moderate drinkers, one or two glasses a day, alcohol has an overall health benefit, especially for middle-aged individuals. So Non-drinkers shouldn't feel the need to start drinking to improve their health. You don't need to. But heavy drinkers do have an increased risk of cancer, heart disease, high blood pressure. So when we're talking about wine consumption, we're talking about a glass of wine with lunch or a glass of wine with dinner. The next one is the wild greens. And nowadays you can go into a store and you can get the baby greens and baby spinach in a bag, and they're pre-washed, and they're in the produce section. But there's more than 150 type of wild greens, and you can do fennel and dandelion and arugula and purslane and chicory and mustard greens and beet greens and carrot tops. So all of these dark leafy greens are what we would consider superfoods. There's just lots of them, even chicory and chickweed and dandelion and milk thistle and watercress. Another one is capers, which is an unripened flower bud of the capreous tree. And it's a perennial plant native to the Mediterranean and some parts of Asia. But it's been around since 2000 BC, and it's actually been written about in the Sumerian epics. So capers, you'll see these little teeny foods. Another one is chickpeas, which is a specific kind of bean. It's known as, it's a little white bean, and it's what you make hummus out of, and it's an ingredient in the Middle East. You can get soups that consist of black beans and also chickpeas, lentils, fava beans, and that's become a bean soup is really quite healthy. Chickpeas themselves are very high in protein, and it's considered one of the healthiest beans that you can possibly eat. Actually, hummus is considered a superfood. It's chickpeas ground up, and it's added with tahini, which comes from sesame seeds, and it is increased or considered a superfood, and it can decrease your risk of cancer. They're very high sources of phosphorus and magnesium. Of course, lemon and lemon juice. A lot of places in the Mediterranean, they start their morning with a glass of warm water and lemon. Or they add fresh lemons to their drinking water. The next one is garlic, and of course I've talked a lot about garlic, and it contains all kinds of different sulfur compounds, and that's what gives it that strong odor, by the way, the sulfur. But it also has anti-cancer, anti-inflammatory. Then they use a lot of herbs and spices. So from rosemary and thyme and turmeric and basil and oregano, all of these are very high in these different anti-inflammatory compounds. Then they do have, they eat feta cheese and yogurt. And I like the feta cheese and the yogurt from Europe much more than from America, because the cows in Europe only eat grass, where in the United States they eat garbage. Healthy cows eat grass. So what is the take-home message? The message is that the Mediterranean diet is very healthy, and that can be done almost anywhere in the world that you live. And again, you'll find that these same foods are in other diets also. So as an example, the next article that I want to talk about are the 9 foods to cut your risk of a deadly stroke. And these same foods that we were talking about often in the Mediterranean diet. Now, this was published in the Journal of Arteriosclerosis. And these foods are, as an example, cold water fish, and they found that eating cold water fish, that's what was one of the strongest anti-inflammatories. They did a study by Harvard, 43,000 plus people were followed, and they found that those that ate the cold water fish had lower incidences of stroke and hypertension and heart disease. The next food was pumpkin seeds. There was a number of studies on pumpkin seeds, and they actually tested over 300,000 people, and it's one of the seeds that has the highest amounts of magnesium and also silica. So women that ate the, actually not just women, but people that ate the most raw pumpkin seeds, we're not talking about the roasted, salted. These were printed studies in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition. The next one, of course, is raw fruits and vegetables. Not surprisingly, raw fruits and vegetables help prevent stroke. We know that. They also help prevent all kinds of other diseases. There's been, hundreds of studies on eating high amounts of fruits and vegetables. It's very difficult to get in the 9 to 11 servings that the American government recommends per day. But they did follow, as an example, Japanese women, those that ate the fruits and vegetables in Japan and the fish and that lived on the traditional Japanese diet had very low incidences of inflammatory diseases and heart disease and strokes. But when they came to America and started eating American diets, those diseases increased just the same as everybody else. So, again, the next group of the highest group of fruits and vegetables, they measured with lutein, and they wanted you to eat with lutein, and that's raw or baby corn, kiwi, red and green grapes and dark grapes, and especially the skins, all the different squashes, zucchini and yellow squash, again, pumpkin and butternut squashes, spinach, cucumber, peas, green and red peppers, celery, Brussels sprouts and cabbage and kohlrabi and kale, and then onions and scallions and broccoli and cauliflower. These were the vegetables that were being eaten. They also green tea. Green tea actually helps to cut your risks of stroke. A big study in China was done. Testing the Chinese people that had tea with their meals or started their morning with a cup of tea, and they found that they had much lower incidences of stroke. Again, we're finding olive oil comes up again. This was a study published in the journal Neurology, and those that consumed the olive oil had lower incidence of heart disease and strokes. They also found soy, but not soybeans in general. It was the tofu and tempeh and fermented soy. And you can also get a yogurt made from soy. So I think they have the isoflavones. Now you can buy capsules with soy. Then they found research from the Cambridge University conducted an analysis of dark chocolate. They found actually cut stroke risk. Also black coffee, and I have another article about coffee. And then wine shows up again. Here you find is that these same foods, whether it's from the Mediterranean diet, or the Atlas of Heart Disease, this is where this came from, and the journal Stroke. All of these foods seem to be the same foods people are consuming. So once you hear it, the idea is to eat those foods and make it something part of your daily routine. Basically, your health will improve on every level.
What is best to give a 2-year-old toddler and a 6-year-old with bad pollen allergies?
Pollen allergies. Well, one of the things that you would do, and you have to do this slowly and carefully, is eating bee pollen. They've actually found that raw bee pollen, especially if it's from the pollen, and you can actually mix that with the honey that's from the same location. So if they're in this area where we live, then it would be considered desert honey. And there's been numerous studies now to show that desert honey is one of the healthiest honeys, and they have anti-cancer properties. So what you would do, just make sure that the very first time they take the pollen, that maybe you take a 2-pinchful, put it on their tongue, let it melt on their tongue to make sure they're not having a strong reaction in any way. But when you mix it with the raw honey from the area and you take raw bee pollen, especially if it's from the desert without the agriculture honey coming with all the pesticides in it, then you're going to find you can really reduce the allergies of most of the children growing up. So you don't want to give honey to someone younger really than 2 years old, but 2 years old is fine. It's really about 1 year old or younger. Raw honey and also a little bee pollen added to that, you're going to find it'll really be quite beneficial for their allergies. This is Eliezer Ben-Joseph.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.